You'd open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I thought, you know, I'm actually prepared for this Sunday. So I want to go with the theme. I want to go with our theme for the year and everything by prayer. And I want to examine today the prayer life of Daniel. Daniel had a strong prayer life. He really did. And he didn't let anything distract him from his prayer life. So, Daniel chapter 6, once you find your place, go ahead and stand with me so we can read God's Word together, if you're physically able, of course. I'll read verses 1 through 10 of Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not.' Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree." This is our main verse that we'll be talking about. Verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." So, the whole chapter is very lengthy, but it shows the importance of prayer to Daniel. Like I said, we'll spend most of our time examining verse 10. We'll examine it actually on every point. Because all throughout this, we see different things that Daniel did in his prayer life. So, I just wonder, this year, in everything by prayer, how many of you, by the uplift of hand, can say your prayer life has grown this year? Your prayer life has gotten better than it ever was before. Amen. That's wonderful. And it has been wonderful. And I do hope that all of us will continue, not only this year, but that we'll go forth with this. And then that we'll make prayer an important part of our life. Prayer is truly the most underused weapon we have in our arsenal. Someone's prayer life can hold them back from the relationship with God that he wants to have with them. John Bunyan wrote about prayer. "Prayer is a shield to the soul, a delight to God, and a scourge to Satan." I want to start by examining this quote from Mr. Bunyan, a man who was imprisoned, a good Baptist man, as I believe, as I read. But he wrote a wonderful book called The Pilgrim's Progress. It's a wonderful book, you know, lots of allegory, which you know, can get caught up in, but it's a wonderful book. Before, it was said to be second only in sales to the Bible, to the King James Bible. But this quote really made me think. Prayer is a shield to the soul. Ephesians chapter 6 is known as the chapter of the whole armor of God, right? Now, the shield is of faith. But let's look a little after all the pieces of the armor. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Paul tells us about the armor of God, that we need to put on the armor of God to withstand in the day that we're in, to withstand and stay strong for God. But then after he goes through each piece of the armor, he says, praying with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is an important part of our armor as well. Prayer will help us put on and keep on the armor of God in this wicked and sinful world. The next part of the quote from Mr. Bunyan, prayer is a delight to God. And it really is. But let's look at some scripture to see if God has a requirement for this delight in prayer. He does. Just let you know. Proverbs 15:8, the Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The prayer of the upright. Notice, upright is the delight of the Lord. So, what must we do to make sure that we are in an upright standing with God? Spurgeon spoke upon this matter about upright prayer. Mr. Spurgeon wrote, God takes great pleasure in the prayers of upright men. He even calls them His delight. Our first concern is to be upright, neither bending this way nor that, continuing upright, not crooked with policy, nor prostrate by yielding to evil. Be ye upright in strict integrity and straightforwardness. If we begin to shuffle and shift, we shall be left to shift for ourselves. If we try crooked ways, we shall find that we cannot pray. And if we pretend to do so, we shall find our prayers shut out of heaven. Are we acting in a straight line and thus following out the Lord's revealed will? Then let us pray much and pray in faith. If our prayer is God's delight, let us not stint Him in the which gives Him pleasure. He does not consider the grammar of it, nor the metaphysics of it, nor the rhetoric of it, and all these men might despise it. He, as a father, takes pleasure in the lispings of his own babes, the stammerings of his newborn sons and daughters. Should we not delight in prayer, since the Lord delights in it? Let us make errands to the throne. The Lord finds us enough reasons for prayer, and we ought to thank Him that it is so. Church, let's make sure that we are in an upright manner before God. We'll see exactly how we need to get into this upright manner here in a little bit. But a lot of people will tell you to start out by thanking God, right? And yes, it's a wonderful way to start, by thanking God and ending by thanking God. But I think first, we need to make sure that we are in an upright standing. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And then He can hear us. And then He wants to hear us if we're upright before Him. I believe that, and I've started doing this since studying this, is I don't even start by thanking God. I start by, God, I'm sorry that I've sinned against You. God, I'm sorry that I've fallen short of Your mark. God, please forgive me. And then I go and thank Him. And then I make my supplications to Him. And then I end by thanking Him again. Let's make sure that our prayer time is a delight to God, by staying upright. The last part of the quote from Mr. Bunyan is, prayer is a scourge to Satan. Satan hates Christians. Satan really, 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 really hates praying Christians. He hates those of us who pray more because he knows that our relationship and our connection to our God is strong. He can't attack us because we're strong. That doesn't mean he's going to stop. Let's keep Satan angry with our upright prayer to God. Let's keep him angry. Let's just throw away the darts that he throws and keep going. Let's not stop. Let's not let him distract us from our prayer time. Let's not let him have any victory whatsoever. Now, getting back to our verse 10 in Daniel, we see that Daniel knew about this bill that was signed. Daniel was to be highest in the kingdom below the king. But you know, these guys got all together like, man, we don't like this guy. He's a foreigner. He's weird. His God is weird. We don't like this guy. And so they wanted to catch him. But they couldn't catch him. He was an upright man. Served God, loved God, God prospered him. So they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We know he goes and prays. Let's make it so where praying's illegal. I'd say we're on the way there. But Daniel knew that the bill was signed, and what was the first thing he went and did? He went to go pray. With the windows open. He would rather spend a night in a den of lions than miss a time of prayer with God. How about us, church? What do we allow in our lives that makes us skip our prayer time? What deters us from having more of a prayer life? Chores? Work? Distractions? Selfishness? Wrong priorities? The list can go on. And hey, church, guess what? I'm guilty. I've let things come in between my prayer time with God. I've let things lessen my prayer time with God sometimes. I try to pray for 30 minutes to an hour a day, and sometimes I let distractions get me. But it shouldn't be so. We should strive to put out all other distractions away from us in our time of prayer with God. We also see that Daniel didn't wait to get in trouble before he prayed. He prayed and then got in trouble. How many of us neglect God until we find trouble? And then like, oh God, trouble's come. We need to pray before the trouble. Before the trouble comes. We need to be in a constant state of prayer. We see that in the church in Acts, that they were almost in a constant state of prayer. That's where we need to be, church. If we're in prayer, we are prepared for the things that are coming at us. Let's stay in prayer. A friend of mine once told me that when he and his coworker were having lunch and he prays for his food, his coworkers make fun of him. Why are you doing that all the time? That's weird. You're just weird. I've been told I'm weird by praying. I'll go out, maybe a business lunch with some of my coworkers. The boss is paying for lunch that day. I'll pray. They're like, what are you doing? Are you going to eat? Well, yeah. I'm asking God to bless my food first. Thanking Him for it. And they thought that was weird. But we can't let that bother us. We pray anyways. How about you? What value do you put on your time with God? Are you willing to be persecuted? Ridiculed? Give your life for prayer? Are you willing to do that, church? It's a hard question, but we should be. The question I've been pondering all week, and we all know the answer to that question should be yes. We should be able to endure anything for our prayer time with God. Now, the rest of our time, I want to examine the characteristics of Daniel's prayer life. Characteristics that we should all have, or if we don't have them, be willing to develop these. First, we can see that Daniel had a definite practice of prayer. The last phrase of our verse in chapter 10, what does it say? As he did aforetime. Daniel probably did this all throughout his life. Daniel was known to be a godly man, a godly kid. He refused the king's meat. He wouldn't sully himself in the beginning and when they first got there. We can probably see that he did this a lot. We also see that Daniel prayed three times a day. Can anyone else think of another man in the Bible that was known to have prayed at least three times a day? David was. Psalm 55:17, the Bible says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Church, we have to be in the practice of prayer. If we do not make sure that we are carving out time in our day for prayer, we're going to let other things distract us. We're going to let other things get in the way. We need to have practice of prayer. We have to make it a habit. If we do not get into the practice of purposing to pray, we will end up being farther and farther away from our prayer life. And that wouldn't be a good thing. We are not purposing to pray. One of the top reasons that people get out of church is they get upset with the preacher. They get upset with God because they said, "Preacher, I've been praying. I've been praying and God just hasn't answered my prayer." God doesn't answer your prayers in your time. He answers them in His. He has a perfect timing for everything in each and every one of our lives. And what are we to do if we're praying and we're praying and we're praying and God just doesn't seem to answer? What should we do? Should we quit? Or should we keep praying? We should keep praying. We keep praying until God gives us a definite no or a definite yes. Keep praying. You'll know when God tells you no, and you'll tell you when God blesses you, okay? You'll know. But don't stop. People want things now. The microwave society. I want it, and I want it right now. I don't want to wait. Maybe if God gave you your prayer right now, it wouldn't be good for you. Maybe if God gave you your prayer right now, it wouldn't glorify Him. Just maybe. This is a lesson I've had to learn myself, because I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Getting called to the ministry at 37 years old puts a strain on a fleshly brain. Because I see all these young men, and they have time to go to college. And they have time to get things done. I don't want to say I'm jealous of them, but it's kind of there. You know, I have to do my school online. I have to work a full-time job overtime. I have a family to take care of. I have church responsibilities. I've had to learn to block out what my flesh says and just wait for God. Just to keep pushing forward for God. Get my lessons done when I can get them done. Get my sermons done when I can get them done. Get my children's church messages done when I can get them done. Take care of my family, and God will have the perfect timing for me. It's a hard lesson to learn, but I've had to learn it. In Luke chapter 18, we see the Lord teach us what it is to have a purposeful time of prayer. And this should be continual. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. This is talking of the widow who came to the judge. The Bible says in Luke 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" We cannot neglect this all-important time of prayer. It is powerful. Some verses that will help us have a definite practice of prayer. In Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." That's a really good one, because it's really short and it's easy to memorize. Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We already read Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we can see Daniel had a practice of prayer. He went, even though the bill was signed, even though he was going to go to the den of lions, and probably, he thought, suffer a violent death, he prayed with his windows open. Next, we can see that Daniel had a definite plan of prayer. In verse 10, it says that he prayed three times a day. Now, I know they didn't have day planners or phones that would alarm them. But he had to have some kind of plan to pray three times a day, okay? He was a big-time guy in the government. He was probably pretty busy. He probably had a life. He had to eat. He had to sleep. But he made sure to carve out three times a day to pray. Church, let me tell you that we need to have a definite plan of prayer as well. We need to plan it. I will line out some important steps in making out this plan of prayer for you, okay? So if you take notes, get your pens ready. First, we need to confess our sins before God and ask for His forgiveness before we pray. Remember what is said in Psalm 66:18. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And if we have unconfessed sin, we are regarding iniquity in our heart. Our sin will hinder our prayers. Have you ever prayed and you just felt like it was hitting the ceiling and not going anywhere? Did you have unconfessed sin at that time? God does not love our sin. He hates it. So if we are holding on to that sin, and we have not given it over to God to forgive us of that, it will hinder our prayers. Another helpful verse for helping understand the importance of confessing our sin is Proverbs 28:13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. This was written before Jesus Christ. If we try to cover our sins, we're not going to prosper. We're not going to see the answers. But if we confess and forsake our sins, God will show us mercy. God shows us His mercy when we confess our sins. Why are we holding on to sin anyway? What good is it doing you? It's not. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We always have something we can confess to God. Some way we've fallen short. It might not even that we did it purposely, but some way that we've fallen short. Take it to God. Ask God for forgiveness. You know, I'm one to believe that in the garden, if Eve had gone to Adam with the fruit, and Adam saw the fruit and she ate it, he's like, Eve, what did you do? We got to go to God. God. Eve ate the fruit. Not saying, she did it. Saying, God, Eve ate the fruit. What do we do? What do we do? I don't know what to do, God. I don't want to take it upon myself, God. What do we do? I believe if God would have figured it out for them and said, Adam just ate the fruit. He went into willful sin against God. Church, there's no sin that you're holding on to that God won't forgive. He'll forgive you. You might get a little bit of chastisement out of it. But He'll forgive you. And He'll help you to understand not to do that again. If you just ask Him. So we confess our sins. We also need to pray in faith. Let me pose this to you. If we pray without faith, if we pray and have no faith in that prayer whatsoever, Are we taking the Lord's name in vain? Is our unbelieving prayer just a vain repetition? Something to think about. I can't back that up with Bible. But I've been thinking about it, and if we pray without faith, we don't believe God. We need to remember what James told the Jews that were scattered in his letter. James 1:5-7, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." When we pray without faith, we're already doubting God. We're already doubting God. "Well, Lord, I sure would like to see this if it's possible, but I don't know if you can do it." What? Do you know that our God works in the realm of impossible? That our God works in the realm of miracles? That our God works in it being impossible for man, so we have to know it's God? Pray. Pray and see what God will do. You know, that passage in James, I wonder where he learned that from. I wonder where James got that. Well, from the Lord, of course. Mark 11:22-24, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." The end of this point goes hand in hand with our next point. If we pray in the will of God, we shall have whatsoever we pray. See, we need to make sure that we're not praying for our silly, manly desires. We need to pray in the will of God. Remember that we need to be careful when God gives us our selfish desires. I preached this not too long ago. Look what Israel, they wanted meat. They got meat, and what happened? A lot of them died. They got their desire, but it's not what God wanted. We need to pray in the will of God. 1 John 5:14-15, the Bible says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Let me see if I can read some of your minds here. Brother Frankie, how can I make sure that I'm praying in the will of God? Anyone think that? Maybe I got some of you. Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I guess what? The Bible has an answer for you. Romans 12:1-2, the Bible says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, folks, when we start reading this Bible, something changes in us. It begins to change our mind to thinking our ways, to thinking God's ways. It begins to work on us. Our prayers will transform from the selfish asking of things that we want to asking the will of God. When our minds are renewed in this book, we prove that it is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Lastly, we need to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:13-14, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son." That the Father may be glorified in the Son. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." But remember, I told you that these points go hand in hand. We pray. pray in the name of Jesus in the will of God. We don't pray in the will of Brother Frankie in the name of Jesus. Jesus won't always do that. But if I'm saying, Lord, I'm praying in your will. Lord, I know you'd like to see this done. Lord, will you just show me? I believe he'll answer that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus Christ in heaven right now preparing our home, but he's also interceding on our behalf. He's our advocate. When we pray, we need to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Darn, where'd the time go? Can we just roll it back a little bit? One, two, three. We only got 3 points left. We'll make them quick. Promise. Next thing we see that Daniel had a definite place of prayer. I wanted to really get to this one because this is important. We see that Daniel prayed in verse 10 of Daniel 6 in his chamber. So I'm going to ask, do any of you have what's called, what people call a prayer closet? A place that you know that you can go to and be alone with God without distractions, without anything. Do you have a prayer closet? Somewhere that you know 100% you can be alone with God. It's a special place. I have a special place. Daniel's prayer closet was in his chamber. He would pray there so he could be alone with God. The Lord told us that we should have a definite place where we can be alone with God in Matthew 6, verses 5 and 7. The Bible says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, Wednesday nights has been very special to me, to pray with you know, the men, or pray as our family, pray as a church. That's been very special. And it's been wonderful. And it's nice to pray with friends at home or your family at home. But it's also nice to have time alone with God, where it's just you and God. And you're speaking to your Father, which is in heaven. I encourage you that if you don't have a special place where you know that it's just you and God, find one. It will help immensely in your prayer life. Do you know who else made sure they had a special place in their prayer to God? The Lord Jesus. Many times in the Bible, and we won't go through them all, it says that he went to a place to pray. He prayed in a certain place. He went to a mountain to pray. He was praying in a certain place. Jesus had a definite place where he could know he could be with the Father alone. So let's be like Daniel on purpose to have a prayer closet in our life. A place where we can have time alone with God. But the next few points are we need to have a definite purpose in our prayer. We need to have a purpose. We need to pray for souls to be saved. We need to pray for revival in our country. Like Brother Briquette said, I'd love to see a third great awakening in our country. But as I said on Wednesday, it starts here, the church. We have to go out. And we have to be the ones to get things started. Daniel had a definite position of prayer. He said he prayed on his knees in humility and humbleness to God. He's a supreme being. He's the creator of the universe. Why do we think we can just come to him willy-nilly? Now, I'm not saying you have to do that all the time. I pray on the way to work. I have an hour. I pray. But I know that there's certain points where I need to get on my knees and plead to